Blog Talk Radio.
Glorious and victorious day it is. It is Sunday. Can you believe it? It is Sunday, the 21st of June, 2020. And the message in the music this morning is by Keith Pringle and the Florida Mass Choir saying, I just can't stop praising his name. Here on this edition of Manna of Restoration, brought to you by the blogtalkradio.com network. Let's say amen to the message in this song. Up today and tell him what it is that you want. Oh, yes. He said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. If you call on him today, he will answer you. He said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And this song gives message to the method in which God's Holy Spirit operates. He said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. But according to your faith, where is your level of faith this morning? Is it operated in full modus operandi, or is it just sitting by the sidelines waiting for it to happen? Faith says, go in and make it happen. There's method to the praise. Oh, yes. Are you praising the God of your salvation, the God of all creation? Are you giving praise and worship to him today? For he is worthy of honor. He is worthy of glory. And he is worthy of all praise. Let's go into praise right now. Today, say Jesus. Call him, call him, call him while he's yet near. I just can't stop praising the name of the Lord, because when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Thank you. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of all praise. It's at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Hands up right now and just say, thank you, God. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him to redeem mankind from his sins, from his iniquity. And he said, though our sins be as scarlet, he will wash us whiter than snow. And just thank you, God, for doing what you've done for us. Because you did what no one else could ever do. Redeem us back to you. For sin and disobedience had separated us, but now we're joined back to the Father. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. We just want to thank God. We just want to thank him for his wonderful love unto us. It said, then was the Son of God made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. And just thank God. And we just want to say right now, before we go into our words, is just thank you, Lord. Just lift up your hands and just say, thank you, Lord. You don't have to make a long, repetitious statement. Just say, thank you, Lord. As the wonderful Walter Hawkins and the Love Center Choir is saying right now, I just want to say thank you, Lord. To the Lord today for all that he's provided unto you. He's made a way out of no way. He made a pathway for you to walk down when you couldn't see your way out. Can you just say, thank you, Lord? Thank you for where I live. Thank you for what I put on. Thank you for what I'm able to eat, what I'm able to do. I have the freeness of my being. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. You made a way out of no way. You defended me. You protected me. You provided for me. You've been my friend. You've been my parent. You've been my counselor. You've been my physician. You've been my lawyer. You've been my provider. I just want to say, and I hope that you're saying too, I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you. God is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. And we just ought to say, thank you, Lord. Just lift up your hands without wrath and without doubting and raise them toward the sky, raise them toward the heavens and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being all that I need at this time and this hour. But this is an hour, a time that is trying men's souls everywhere. But nevertheless, when we look up, we know that our redemption, our protection, our deliverance draws nigh. And we're going forth in the praise today in a spirit of humility and worship to say thank you, Heavenly Father, for just being God, and beside you there is none other. We shouldn't have a trying circumstance or a situation in our lives that arise for us to say thank you, Lord. We should just say thank you. It should be an automatic response to our day-to-day existence, to thank God for having life, for having breath, for having health, for having the mobility of our limbs, the rightness of our minds, the provisions that we need to exist on a day-to-day basis. And I'm just thanking the Lord. I don't know about you, but if you are like me and you want more than what God has, you want to touch and tap the very aspects of heaven, the very provisions of heaven, well, when the praises go up, the miraculous interventions come down. The manifestation of the miracles of heaven translate upon the earthly terrain when the praises go up. And you just acknowledge to the fact in the secular setting of things, when we praise our significant others, when we praise our children, or we praise our supervisors, and we praise our parents, and those are within an intermediate grasp of our circumference, the people that we give recognition and praise and acknowledgement to will go above and beyond to make sure that that acknowledgement is perpetual and continual, and they will do the more to make sure that it does. So how much more so does our Heavenly Father reflect in that same mindset when we acknowledge him, when we praise him, when we give honor and glory to him, he will show us more of his glory. He will show us more of his blessings. He will give us more elevation, even more restoration, and impute upon us the divine intervention of deliverance in our lives. And here's where the manner of restoration begins. And it's an evolutionary process, a perpetuation of motion in the here and the now. We know what's coming in the future, but we need to make sure we manifest the reality of God in the here and now way of thinking, doing, and living. Psalms 34 says, I will, the Psalms of David, bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast. When you boast, you're bragging in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. That means those that are seeking. They will hear of what your praise is and your testimony is, and they will be glad. They will be enlightened. To be enlightened means to be glad. The third verse says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. But you know that fear is a lack of faith and the lack of the application of faith. So he said he delivered me. David said he had a change of attitude, which means his elevation and his latitude also changed. And he delivered me from all my fears. What do you fear today? Fear comes from uncertainty, not knowing, not being able to predicate the outcome of a circumstance situation. Are you trusting God to be the God of your life? Not only the God of creation, not only the God of elevation, but the God of your life. Perfect love for God casts out all fears. They looked upon him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear, that means regard, respect, be in awe, the Lord, ye his saints, I mean those that follow his word and desire his presence. For there is no want, that means there is no lack to them that fear him. So when we put our trust in God, our faith is in full operatus, modus operandi, which means full throttle forward. And this is when the miracle power of God takes manifestation in our lives on the earthly plane. And we're able to see the results of what our faith brings about. See, faith manifests itself in actions and in physical manifestation. And when we take our faith and put it to work, we are doing what God has required, and that is when the miracles come forward. I've read for you, for your listening consideration and your soul's inspiration, the 34th division of Psalms. And we're just thanking God today for just being God, and beside him, there is none other. And with all the madness and the rhetorical evil doings going on within the land, it is certainly an acceptable time of the Lord for us to prove who he is, what he is, and what he will do. And trust me to tell you, through faith, he will do what he said he will do. And we just thank God today for those of you in listening radio land, on whatever continent you're on any of the seven continents, let me tell you something. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is indeed liberty there. And we realize it is in him we live. It is in him that we move, and in him we have our being. He is our life source. He is our life force. He is our everything, and he can do anything but fail. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us together today in a spirit of worship. We ask that you open up the understanding of each and every one of us, that your word will continue to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, and that you strengthen us, that you bless us, that you prosper us so that we may bless others. You prosper us that we may share our prosperity with others, and that we make manifest the very existence of you who created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. Rather, that you cast out every evil imagination that exalted itself above God and even challenged the knowledge of Jesus Christ, cast it down, cast it asunder. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, should there be any in listening radio land that is physically suffering from a condition that is causing their lives, their existence to be compromised, we're asking that you become Jehovah Rapha, that you become the healer. Father God, if there's any that lack any good thing and desire to see their debts removed and the provisions be made manifest in their life, we're asking that you be Jehovah Jireh, which is Lord God, our provider. And to those that are seeking a way out of the situation that they're in, that you'll be Jehovah Nissi, their righteousness, their way. For we know that you are a God that watches over your word to perform it. And you said in your word will not return unto you void, but will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And we're looking for the great now to manifest and the greater to come. We bless thy holy name. To those that have fallen by the wayside, Lord, we're asking that through the spirit of revitalization, through restoration, that they come back to the fold and reclaim the place in which they are set to be, and that they get up and move forward and do the great and mighty works that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ commanded unto us to do, to compel men's hearts to the truth and to bring them back unto their fold and their place of originality. We thank you for just being God, and beside you there is being none other. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we thank you for miracles manifested and will continue to manifest. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. We're going back to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where we're talking about the application of faith and how faith continues to be that guiding perimeter in our lives that helps us to stay on task, and on our mission so that we can experience the height, the depth, and the very breadth of God in our universe, who's working on the terrestrial plane as well. Let's go to the 22nd verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to continue. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of what? Of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. That means he was able to share with his children. That's right. The very elements in which God had commanded that he had predestined for them to claim the land, and that they would be a monumental people, and they would be recorded in history as being the first monotheistic society, the society that was first to acknowledge a one existence God. That's right. God is unilateral. He's one existence. He's not a multiplicity of deities. He's one sovereign, supreme deity. And again, how the Israelites became known as the people of God, it was not because of racial preferences. It was because they were the only society in that day and time that acknowledged that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, and they worshiped him. While the other civilizations, the Hittites, the Assyrians, the Phoenicians, the Greeks, the Romans, they believe, and the Egyptians believe in a multiplicity of gods. They believe in polytheism. But everything that was existing on the physical level, it was named after a deity. And in order to maintain the integrity of appeasing that deity, they would give offerings. Well, this made them pagan because they were not acknowledging the only true God that there is and was at that time, which is the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Almighty, Lord God Almighty. And so the children of Israel did acknowledge him as such. And so this man, Jacob, was able to give his very elementation of revelation to those who came after him. And even so, concerning even after the grave, Joseph said that that wasn't the end. Because God, as you remember the story of Joseph, He literally was rectified through the power of God, given divine favor as being second in command in a weary land. See, the Lord said, when you put him first, he will make your enemies your footstool. The very brothers that betrayed him and lied about him being destroyed and no longer existed had to come to him during the time of famine to be fed. To be fed. Why? God said he would take the first and make it last, and the last and make it first. As long as we obey him and operate through the principles, the guiding principles, might I say, of faith. Now here, 23rd verse, by faith. When you do something, I say I'm coming by your house, that means I am coming in close proximity so that I can gain accessibility to where you are. Now, once I get there, I can go through the door, but I got to get by there first. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. I mean, he was a special child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They know that he was a beautiful child, but he had a gift within him. See, we were predestinated before we manifested on the physical realm. Don't forget, we were all spiritual children. We were God's spiritual children before we became existent on the natural level. That's right. So therefore, we were predestined before the foundations of the world and what we would do, what our calling would be, what our lives would be like. We were all predestined. Nothing happens by coincidence or circumstance. We were predestined. That means we were molded already before we were congealed into the mold. We were already molded. That's right. That's why John the Baptist, he leapt in his mother's womb when he came into contact with Mary when she carried our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he was ordained as a man, as a preacher. that would go about and compel men's souls unto the truth. And he knew that he had came in contact with the Messiah. See, Jesus was spoken into existence before he physically manifested. He was before Moses was. When he asked his disciples to identify who he was, he said, wait a minute, I was before Moses was, because he was in spirit form. This is where it all begins. Everything starts with spirit matter. Then it manifests into physical or material matter. So here we know that it was through faith that his parents hid him away, because there was a decree to destroy all male children, because the Pharaoh knew that someone was coming that was going to be a deliverer of those who were in bondage. And guess what happened? 24th verse, by faith, that means coming to it, the situation called for action. See, when by means calls for action, immediate action. Moses, when he was come to years, that means when he matured, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's right, so Pharaoh's daughter took care of him, but he refused to be called her son because he knew who he was and he knew who his birth parents was and he knew the purpose in which God had set him out for. 25th verse, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That means that he accepted the calling that God gave him. Now, he could have accepted being the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, and he would have enjoyed the luxuries, the lushness of a wonderful and thriving and just embellished life. But he knew that would be short-lived and quickly forgotten. He assumed his posture, his placement to go forward into the vineyard and to work and to do what God required of him, so that when the season became ripe, he would reap the manifold of the blessings that God promised upon him as well as his people. And that's what he did. 26th verse, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That means he looked beyond those temporal things and he saw the eternal aspects of what he was going to do that God assigned him to do, and he wanted to please God. See, God said in his word that if you please him, he'll cause your enemies, your opposing forces, to be at peace with you. 27th verse, by faith. I mean, came into it, the situation called for immediate action. I said, you got to go by faith. That means it's immediate. You got to do it like right now, like the last second, the last minute. He forsook Egypt, or he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So it means he departed from Egypt, he left. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible, because he feared God. See, when you know God and you fear God, you will operate under the guiding principles of faith. You will do what others won't do. You will see what others cannot see. You are able to perceive what others would never be able to perceive, because you are operating on the spiritual level of things, on the higher elevated frequency of things. 28th verse, through faith. Now see, the immediate action, he got there. He took action. See, by faith, you got to act like right now. Bam. But through faith, see, once he acted right then, now he's able to go to level one, which means through faith. Now, that was going to be his guiding parameter, because he took the first step by faith. Now, he's going to have to operate through faith. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And you all know the song that says, when I see the blood, when the death angel was going throughout Egypt, slaying the firstborn male children, and that song said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Well, this is scriptural. We know that God imputed that curse because Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel go through the land of Egypt and go to the promised land. You can't halt God's work and his promises, and you can't stop his spokesperson. So those that rise up against us, God will quickly knock them down. Every opposition that comes against us, God will destroy it. every high place and exalted itself to overtake us, God will destroy it and disintegrate it into nothing. And this is what Moses stood. He stood on what God told him, that he would speak his word and he would operate, and that he would indeed see the manifestation of the miracle working power of God. 29th verse. By faith, okay, immediate action is needed. They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. That means that because of the faith and operational level of God's anointing and his power upon Moses, as Moses spoke and told them to come, let us walk through the Red Sea, God made a dry land pathway for the children of Israel to walk through the very Red Sea. And the depths of the Red Sea were astronomical. The span of the sea was immense. But God made a dry pathway for his children to walk. And then the Egyptians were going to go after them to pursue them, to destroy them. And let's see what God did. He allowed the waters to recede for the children of Israel, then proceed once the Egyptians came in the midst and they were destroyed. Let's go to the next verse, 30th verse. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were passed about 7 days. How many of you remember Joshua fought the battle of Jericho? That means he knew what God spoke to him and said. He told him to go around the wall 7 times. 7 represents, write this down for the record, the completeness of God, the manifestation of God. He worked on the 6 days. And on the 7th, he rested. Because why? The manifestations all had taken place. So when Joshua, We see he fought the battle of Jericho. He marched around the walls, and on the 7th turn, the walls tumbled down. Why? Because he operated through the faith system, not based upon what you see. See, by faith, you don't see it, but see, by faith, you know it, because he that spoke it has promised it, and he can't turn his word away. His word cannot return back to him void. It will accomplish the purpose in which it is set out for. The 31st verse, by faith, again, immediate action needed. The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now here was a woman that many refer to as a harlot or a fallen woman, a promiscuous woman. This promiscuous woman had enough fear of God. Despite how she was living, see, God looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. And she took in those men of God. And as a result, God spared her in the midst of all the wickedness. He put a wall of protection around this woman, around this harlot. And many people judged her, but look, they fell and she stood because God was with her. 32nd verse. And what shall I more say for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David, also and Samuel of and of the prophets? That means here's some more witnesses that stood on faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So we're seeing the operations of faith, miracles being wrought, obscenities being erased, plots, plans, and wiles of the wicked one destroyed. High places torn down. Wicked people that's trying to do righteous people in removed off the face of the earth. Plans turned upside down. Government destroyed. The enemies of mankind brought to naught. by the operatives of faith. Faith by faith requires immediate action, reaction, and through faith, interaction. And then comes the manifestation of the justification. See, faith justifies you when all your good deeds can do nothing. Because that's the reason why the scripture tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh unto God first must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. I mean, some suffered ridicule, being mocked and treated unfairly because they stood on the faith of God, in God, through God, and by God. And as a result, God put his arms of protectance and circumference around them. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in the sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. That's right. According to your faith, with all of these circumstances that sometimes are afflicting of mankind, they refuse to acknowledge faith. See, if you don't acknowledge faith, you won't acknowledge miracles. You won't receive miracles. You won't even understand the spiritual level and frequency in which miracles occur. You can't experience the height, the depth, and the breadth of God without faith. Without faith, you'll fail. Without faith, you'll lose out. Without faith, you'll get oppressed. Without faith, you'll give up. Without faith, you'll act in the flesh. You'll act out of character. You'll act unseemly. That's the reason why God is instituting the importance of faith. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So faith is that substance of things that we hope for and the evidence of things that we do not see with a natural eye. That's why we must have it. We must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So this is very necessitable, very needful, especially at this hour, to walk in faith. When we walk in faith, we walk in divine favor. When we operate in faith, we're operating outside of the secular setting of things. When we institute faith, we're going to receive the miraculous transformation, intervention, and manifestation of God's power. So don't forget the three O factors when we're talking about our God. He's omnipotent, that means all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent in every place at every given time. And through faith, we understand how the worlds were framed. We understand who God is, what he has done, and what he will continue to do. So let us continue on in the manifesto of things that he has indeed predestined for each and every one of us as believers at this day, at this point, and at this time. And we're just thankful to God for the exaltation of faith. There's three main components of our spiritual lives that we have to make sure, nutrients, three very important nutrients, we have to make sure that are in full operation in our spiritual life. Faith, love, or charity is love in motion, and hope. See, faith is for right now. Hope is for somewhere down the line in the immediate future. And love is right now because it collaborates, it congeals all three elementations of that main branch of that tree that sprawls out throughout that particular tree. And make sure that the life force is intact, that all the nutrients are being absorbed, that the necessary hydration is being received. And this is why we must constantly, as we take care of the natural aspects of our lives, we have to make sure that the spiritual aspects of our lives are well in niche and well intact. And it begins with our faith, according to our faith, be it unto us. And so many of you might say, well, you know something, teacher? I never knew that faith was all that important. I heard people talk about it. I heard it mentioned. But no, faith is crucial. It's elemental. It is essential. And we cannot operate without it. We cannot do without it. That's right. And Jesus even said in Matthew, the 17th chapter, the 20th verse, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, he said, you can look at that mountain. You can say, mountain be removed, and that mountain will be removed, not because of the physical apparatus of things, but through the spiritual apparatus of things, that mountain can be absorbed. And through faith, we can actually see the manifestation of those things take place. And that's why we must continue on to fight the good fight of faith. That's right. Because we know that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man doth availeth much. And we thank God for you today, and we're asking that God touch you in a special way, that your faith will elevate and that you will escalate and you will be all that God would have you to be. This is the evolutionary process. We grow from faith to faith and from grace to grace. And we know that in going and growing, we're going to experience some snags and some areas of dysfunctionalism. That's to be anticipated. But the scripture tells us that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Have a glorious, victorious, and prosperous week, and we're going to catch you again on next Sunday. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, North Jamal, Cindy Maharani, saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and that you and I too can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Have a glorious, victorious, and prosperous week. We'll see you again real soon. Oh, yeah.